The book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, if you find Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea. Hosea is the first of the smaller books. They call them the minor prophets, but it's not because they're any less important than Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, but the books are just smaller. Hosea is the first of those books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Joel, those smaller Old Testament books. But Hosea is right after the book of Daniel. If you'll turn to Hosea chapter number 4, we'll read there in the Word of God a few verses. I don't know, we'll just stop somewhere down through there. Be good to read the whole book. God's speaking to the children of Israel here. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1. And you pray real hard that God has His way this morning and speaks to our hearts and gives us what we need from the Word of God. I do want to say, I was going to mention one more thing. Good to have Karis Grace Jones with us here this morning. Karis Ruth. Why did I say that? Grace, Faith, Love, Ruth, Charity. All. She has Bible names. And that's right. I knew that. I didn't write it down because I said, well, I can remember that because Chloe's middle name's Ruth. And surely I can remember that. But Karis Ruth, and she was born June 14th. And her and Amanda and Jeremy, and we're thankful for the Lord working in their lives and giving them this precious gift. And she was born on Flag Day. That's a good patriotic day. And so we're glad to have her here this morning for the first time. I wanted to mention that. But Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Let's stop right there and pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given us today. And Lord, I come just humbly today and knowing and recognizing that I need thy help, Lord. I can't preach. I can't do anything without, Lord, the anointing of the Spirit of God and the fullness of thy Spirit. Lord, I pray. I yield unto thee today, God. I want you to have your way. I want you to speak to our hearts. And I pray and ask, dear God, that you just do that today, Lord, that you'd help us as thy people. Lord, that we come to church today, Lord, to meet with thee, Lord, and God, that you'd manifest yourself to us, speak to our hearts, help us as only you can, save some lost soul, revive thy people in these latter days. Oh God, how we need to hear from heaven, and I pray for that today. Lord, have your way and speak to hearts. Help us now. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Look what it says in verse number 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord." And that's what I want to preach on today. I want to preach on, did you hear that? Did you hear that? We read those verses this morning. And I believe if God will meet with us and speak to us from His Word today, I believe if we'll listen real close. You know, the Bible teaches us to hear, not just with our physical ears, but with our spiritual ears as well. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So I want to try to preach on that today. I want to try to preach on that subject. Did you hear that? And I believe as we look here in Hosea chapter number 4, what we'll hear as we listen is the sound of a nation that is falling. If you really pay attention and you look around what's happening in the world today and in our nation today, our nation is falling. And that's what Hosea was talking about here in Hosea chapter number 4. He was talking about a nation that was going to fall. And I've tried to close my ears and I've tried to tune it out down through the years and tried to listen to something else. But as time goes on and my ministry goes on that the Lord has put me in and preaching goes on, time goes on, all of these things, the Spirit of God just won't let me stop listening to the sound of our nation falling. In fact, I've been preaching this way a long time, over 20 years now. I've been preaching along these lines. In fact, when I was studying for this message, I thought about a message that I had preached here at Mount Lebanon many, many years ago before I ever even came to pastor. And I look back in my notes, and actually the first time I ever preached at Mount Lebanon, it was September the 1st, 1991, and I preached out of Joel chapter number 2, and I preached on the subject, Blow Ye the Trumpet. And you know that message is talking about the same thing this message is talking about this morning. There's judgment coming. If we'll listen, we need to sound the trumpet. We need to pay attention. We need to turn back to God. In fact, that's what the Bible says over there in Joel chapter number 2. It says, rend your heart and not your garments. Time to turn again to the Lord. That's what he's talking about over there. And somebody needs to blow the trumpet and wake up and pay attention to all these things. And when the Lord began to lay this message on my heart, I argued with him for about half a second. And that's about how long it takes for the Lord to reprimand me and show me that it's not my business, it's his business. When God called me to preach, one of the things he showed me was over in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says over there that God told Jeremiah, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And that's the way we ought to come. We ought to come not to just hear a message about God. We ought to come to hear from God. I believe that's a big difference in the day and time in which we live. People used to go to church to meet God, and now they come just to hear a message about God. But we ought to come to hear from God. And I hope you come to hear from the Lord today. And if we'll hear, if we'll open our eyes and our spiritual ears this morning, I believe we'll see some things about our nation from the Word of God. I had a funeral service yesterday, and we were up at the graveside up here at the Danner Cemetery, and it was a military funeral. Graveside service at least was, and I don't know if you've ever been where they have graveside services for the military, but they have the flag on the casket, and the family will come out there, and the preacher will read some scripture and pray, and then they'll play taps. They'll call the men and women that are out there doing it to attention, and they'll play taps, and that's what you play for a fallen soldier. And the flag was there on the casket, and as they were playing that mournful old tune that all of us are familiar with this morning, and I seen that flag on the casket there, I thought to myself, that's about to the point that we are in this nation. We just about ought to leave it on the casket, because God is about to the point where he's about to bury our nation. And I thought about that as I was standing there beside the graveside, and then I studied about this later on yesterday. But I want to point out some things here in Hosea chapter number 4. I want to preach on this subject. Did you hear that? And what you'll hear first of all in verse number 1, but the Bible says, hear ye the word, or hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And what you hear right there, that is a nation falling spiritually. Notice what he said there in verse number 1, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. The Bible says in Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I believe that's where we are today in America. We are going through a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. There's no lack of Bibles in America today. I mean, there might be a lack in some other country. There may be places in our country today where there's not as many Bibles as there is in other places. But surely, to my goodness today, if you live in America, you have access to a Bible. There's a way to get a copy of the Word of God. I mean, just go to a motel room without fail. Usually, I've never found it where you couldn't find a copy of God's Word, at least in a motel room. Hey, somebody said during Bible school this week, I believe it was my wife's class, her and Sister Julie, and they asked the question in their classroom. They was talking about memorizing Scripture, how important it was to memorize the Word of God. And the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And we ought to memorize and put God's Word in our heart. But they asked the children, they said, "Well, we need to memorize because what would we do if we didn't have the Bible?" And one of the children said, "Well, we'd get it on the internet." Now, I never gave that answer when I was growing up, but you know what? You want to find the Word of God and you want to read the Bible, it's abundantly available to us today. We have the Bible in book, we have the Bible in print, we have the Bible on computers, we have the Bible, you can download it to CDs and MP3s and all of these things. It's not that we have a lack of Bibles. We just don't pay attention to the Bible that we have. That's our problem in America today. Or if we have a Bible and we don't like what it says, we just change it out and get another Bible, one that's more friendly to the way that we live our lives. There's a new NIV coming out this year. It's a gender-free version. Somebody said, "What does that mean?" It means like this, where it would normally say men, it'll say people, and you know, don't want to offend any women, any men, and it does all of these things. And there's an article, and I mentioned it in my class last week about it, and I believe it was in the USA Today. One of the publishers made this statement. They said, "We've got a new NIV coming out this year, and we'll get it right this time." You know what that means? They didn't get it right any of the previous times. But you know, if you don't like what the Word of God says, people, they'll just go get another one. They'll change it out for something else. And so we find here God said in His Word, He said, "I've got a controversy with that. I've got a problem with that. There's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land." I got up yesterday morning and we get the, I don't know if anybody else gets it, we get the Winston-Salem Journal. That's what we get at our house. And I noticed yesterday morning, and I didn't mean to bring all of this, but on the front page of the paper there, it says, "Marching for Marriage." And it's got a picture of brides there marching in protest down the street, and they're holding up these signs, and it says, "Straight Brides for Same-Sex Marriage." It says, "Adam and Steve make a nice couple." Says, "Break traditions, not hearts." Says, same-sex marriage will stimulate the economy. Well, that's a good reason to be an abomination in the sight of God, isn't it? So it'll stimulate the economy. And it goes on down in that article there, and I'm going to have to turn that over. I can't even preach and look at that, but said in that article that as these ladies march down the street in their bride's dresses, that people in restaurants around, they applauded them. And they clapped for them and said that there was just a few that didn't agree, and said one man rolled down his window in his SUV and yelled out the window and said, "Read the Bible." I'm sure they all went home and got their Bible and read and found out, said, "Wonder what God thinks about that." You know what? You know what our problem in America is today about same-sex marriage and a whole lot of other things is? People just don't read their Bible. They're not listening. They don't care what God says in His Word. If you'd read the Bible on that matter, you'd find out that marriage is a divine institution, not a government institution. That's why God has the authority to say it's between a man and a woman. And we as people, no matter how we might feel about it, it doesn't matter what you think about it. Marriage is God's idea, not man's idea. Marriage will always and forever be between a man and a woman. Doesn't matter if the whole world turns out and says men can marry men and women women and men dogs. And it doesn't matter what man says. Marriage is God's idea. But see, people don't care what God says. If you'll hear real close, if you'll listen real close this morning, that's the sound of a nation that is falling spiritually. God says in verse 1, I've got a controversy. That means that God's got a problem with that. Once upon a time in America, churches had prayer meeting. They'd have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Now if you look around what's going around the trend today is on Wednesday night to have a great big meal. And that's the drawing card on a Wednesday night. Once upon a time, churches had camp meetings. And now they have concerts and bring in and have rock and rap and all of that bunch of stuff and try to please the world. And you just look by and large across our country what's happening. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that used to represent His blood and His flesh upon that cross where He died. Boy, it's been cleaned up and renovated, and now it's made a glamorous thing, and movie stars and rock stars and all that bunch, they wear a gold or a silver cross around their neck. Doesn't mean anything to anybody today. Our nation spiritually has fallen far, far away from God. Did you hear that this morning? Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:14, he said, for truth is fallen in the street. We're a long ways from God. I look on down in verse number 2. That's the sound of a nation falling not only spiritually, but it's the sound of a nation that is falling morally as well. The Bible said in verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. There's several things in that verse we could look at this morning. He said, first of all, by swearing. And I looked that up. That word is talking about what we would refer to as cursing, cussing, bad, filthy, foul language. That's what that's talking about. You believe God pays attention to how people talk? Sure He does. The Bible says in the New Testament, old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When God hears us talking, when God hears us as a nation talking, what He is hearing is what's coming out of our heart. It's down on the inside. And God said, you generation of vipers, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. And I'll tell you what, everywhere you turn today, I mean, once upon a time, now there's never been a time in our nation where people didn't curse. But once upon a time in our nation, people were careful where they cursed at. And if there was a lady or children around and a man came out with an oath or a foul word, another man would rebuke him over that. It wasn't allowed. It was looked down upon. It was frowned upon. But I'll tell you, now you'd better be careful when you go to a town and if you get around a group of young people and you listen just a minute, you'll find out that they've learned to curse now. And women learn to curse. Once upon a time, you didn't hear that in our nation. But swearing, I mean, it's on TV, it's on the internet, it's on the radio, filthy talking and foul and all like that. And God said, I hear that. Swearing and lying, that's falsehood. That's not telling the truth. We live in a generation, we live in a nation where lying is just as common as anything else, and you cannot even believe anything you hear on the news. It might be right and it might not. They can talk about a recovery all they want to, but they're lying. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and we was talking about when we were in the military, and you know, if you go to sign up to be in the military, you have to talk to a recruiter. And when I joined the military, my recruiter lied to me. And evidently, looking back on it and talking to people, why, that was just common that they would lie and tell you things to get you to join and sign on the dotted line and all of those things. And anybody that is from my generation or that point back and you join, you, it's just common knowledge that the recruiters lied about things. But you know what? I was talking to a fella and he was in the military and he was in recruiting. He said, oh no, he said, they don't lie about stuff now. He said, if they do, they'll kick them out. They will they can go to jail. So they had to make it against the law to lie to get them to stop lying and threaten their careers, and that's where we are today. It's not that they wouldn't lie, it's just that if they get caught lying, they can lose their jobs and all of those things. He talks about lying, he talks about killing there, he said killing and stealing and committing adultery and all of those things. In our nation today, it's our nation killing babies and our parents killing children and children killing parents, and it's just no end to it. You hear about it all the time, and stealing and committing adultery and all of those things. Look over in Ezekiel chapter number 16. That's just back probably 40, 50 pages in your Bible. If you go back to Ezekiel chapter number 16, God said there in verse number 2, it said, they break out and blood toucheth blood. When something breaks out, that's an epidemic. We have an epidemic of these things in our country today. He said, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Here in Ezekiel chapter number 16, God is talking about the children of Israel and how he chose them and how he made them a nation. But it said over in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 20, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter that thou hast slain my children? God pays attention how a nation treats its children. And surely God has paid attention to what America's done down through the years, just if we could just talk about abortion alone. But then he goes on over, this is a very long chapter in the Bible, he compares Israel to Sodom. And he said over in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 45, he said, thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite, and thine elder sister is Samaria. And going down, he said in verse 48, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. There's six things there, six reasons there why he said that he... Did you notice in the verse 50 he said, I took them away as I saw good? There's six things there he said why he did away with Sodom. We think about Sodom and Gomorrah. You just think about the sin of sodomy. You think about men and men and women and women. But there were several problems in Sodom. Several reasons why God took them away. And it said, first of all, pride. They were lifted up in pride. Fullness of bread. They had an abundance of things. Just like we are in America today. We have so much. We're not thankful. He said an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. And boy, if we don't have an abundance of idleness today. They used to say an idle mind's the devil's workshop. That's not in the Bible, but the teaching is. Idleness is not good. Sitting around with nothing to do and nothing but time on your hands, it is not good for us. We need to be employed in something profitable. And wherever you find an abundance of idleness, you will find trouble and sin, because man's heart is desperately wicked. He'll find something to get into, and it's usually not good. They had an abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They didn't have mercy. They were haughty. They committed abomination before me. That's the reference there to the sin of sodomy. But you know what? It's listed at the end. And let me say, any nation down through history that has ever put its blessing upon the sin of sodomy, God has cursed them. And that's what our nation is busy doing today. See, the reason that's in the newspaper there is because this past week, New York passed that in that state, they would recognize homosexual marriage. That's why it's in the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal. I'll tell you, and they're so excited about it. Today's paper was talking about up in New York, all these churches getting calls and people making plans, and it's going to pick up business and all of this bunch of stuff, but nobody cares what God seems to think about it. That is the sound of a nation that is fallen morally. Look back in Hosea chapter number 4. Bible says in verse number 3, it says, therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. That is the sound of a nation falling economically. This describes a nation in verse number 3 that has its food supply cut off. Said, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. When you languish, that's something that, like you would think about a plant that needed a drink of water, and it was just leaves all wilted up and about to die. God said, that's what's going to happen to the children of Israel. He said, they're going to mourn with the inhabitants of the land there. That is a sign of a nation that is fallen economically. Once upon a time in America, we were a self-sustaining nation, and a great number of people in this country were involved in the employment of agriculture. We grew our own food, and we raised our own meat and things of this nature, and we were able to sustain ourselves. Agriculture. Every little home that had a little piece of land had a garden, had a cow, had a pig, had a chicken, had something that they could sustain themselves and get their own eggs and raise a little bit and put it up. But we've gone far, far away from that. We went from being an agricultural nation to an industrial power where we had factories and worked with steel and built railroads and airplanes and all of these things. And then we graduated. I don't know if that's the right word, but we moved into a technological nation where we were a leader and an inventor in the world, computers and software and all of those things. And you know now what? We've shipped all this stuff to the other nations of the world. And you know what keeps our economy going? We're a consumer nation. You remember when 9/11 happened, and boy, it just shocked the whole nation and grieved us and shook us at that time. And President Bush, he went out and he said, here's what you need to do. Go out and go shopping. That'll help America. Get back to work and go buy something and go to the mall and stuff like that. See, we don't realize, but most people in America, I mean the great majority of people in America, we just live from the store to the table to our mouth and do it all over again, all over again. We don't realize how close we are, how quickly it could happen that our food supply, boy, it could be gone. I mean grocery stores emptied, Walmarts and all that stuff. I read something a while back that said that the average meal in America travels thousands of miles to get to your table. You ever looked at where your vegetables and things come from? Herbs, and I'm not talking about just canned goods and things like that, but I mean you go and you read on something, it come from Chile, it come from the Dominican Republic, it come from Mexico, it come from China, all this stuff. I mean, you think about that this morning. That is what feeds our nation. But God said, I'm going to cut you off. Therefore shall the land mourn, and Everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. I remember reading a couple of years ago about up in, I believe it was Massachusetts, in that state, the very last sardine factory in America closed down. We don't get any. All of that stuff comes from overseas. At the turn of the century, talking about the 1900s, I heard this earlier this week. I thought that was pretty interesting. I heard something that said in America at one time there were over 15,000 different varieties of apples in our nation. God had blessed us. Everybody raised, grafted. Now there's 11. There's 11 choices. You go down to the grocery store and buy food down there. One economist said a while back, he said, if one more thing happens in our nation, we will not be able. And that was two or three catastrophes ago. We're, what do they say, skating on thin ice. We're skating on thin ice as a nation. We have unemployment. We have housing busts, bank failures, foreclosures, bankruptcies, all of those things. You say, preacher, what's happening? That's the sound of a nation that is falling economically. But don't worry, this morning, while all that goes on, our leaders, they're making sure that gays have rights. They're making sure that they'll get voted in next time and redistricting and that the abortion industry continues to be funded. They're making sure all those essential things are taken care of. That's the sound of our nation falling economically. Number four, look in verse number four. I can tell you're not much into it this morning. It ain't no wonder our nation's going to hell. He said in verse number four, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. What that is the sound of our nation's unity falling. It used to be that we could stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance and say, one nation under God, indivisible. We're not there anymore. And the reason is because we're not one nation under God. We're one nation under many different little gods, the God of money, the God of Allah, the God of, you just name it right there. There's all kinds of different interests in our country, and we are so divided this morning. We are not one nation under God. We're divided, the right and the left, and the whites and the blacks and the Mexicans. And I mean, you just look at it this morning. There is so much division in our country, and hatred and vile towards one group, towards another. Wouldn't take much to get us roused up into a civil war in this country. And it makes me think sometimes if that's not what they'd like for it to happen. The right hates the left and the left hates the right, and there's no meeting in the middle, and all of these things. That's the sound of our unity falling in this nation. Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. If our nation is divided, it's very easy for us to fall. And then he said, number five, he said in verse 5 and 6, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And this is what really bothers me. I will also forget thy children. That's the sound of a nation suddenly falling. Went and heard a preacher a while back, an older preacher, and he said, he made this statement, Noah and I went to hear him, and he said, we as a nation, he said, we don't have anything to offer these young people. And I asked Noah after that, I said, what do you think he meant by that statement? Because we do have something to offer our young people. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the example that we can live before them and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he was talking about when he said that, he meant as a nation. Boy, when I was growing up, there was real hope. There is hope that if you applied yourself and you tried and you went to college or you worked hard at a job, you could earn, you could make, you could be promoted and all of these things. But I'll tell you, the forecast for America, boy, it's not good. It's not good. What are we going to do? Send our young people off to be educated and pay thousands of dollars and then them still not be able to find a job? What's the hope in all of that? That's where we're at today in America. That's the sound of a nation suddenly falling. And don't think today that nations do not suddenly fall. You remember over there in Daniel chapter number 5 when Belshazzar was partying and drinking and living it up and celebrating and drinking wine out of the vessels that came out of the Lord's house, and all of a sudden the Bible says that in that night, in the same hour, there came a hand and wrote on the wall. That let the air out of their party that night. God said, you're going to fall. And by the time the sun come up in the morning, they did. The whole kingdom fell in a night. Look at the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed them in one day. Their judgment came and fell upon them. And just look how far that we as a nation have fallen in just the past few years, and how far, far away from God, and how everything in the whole wide world is in an uproar. We've gone so far away from God as a nation that I don't believe it's a question of if God judges us and we fall, but just a question of when God will, what'll be the final blow that'll bring us down. Now I will say this morning, that does not mean there's not hope. You know, I was reading and studying about this. Look over in Hosea chapter number 6. The name Hosea, now God gave this message to Hosea, and it's a pretty bleak, dark message. I understand that this morning, but God gave that message to a man named Hosea. You know what the name Hosea means? It means salvation. I mean, God could have gave the message to a man named damnation, but He didn't. He gave it to a man named salvation. I believe there's hope in that right there. We're never not without hope as the children of God. But look what he said in Hosea chapter 6. He said, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea brought a message of judgment, but Hosea also had a message of revival for the nation of Israel. He said, and all hope is not gone just yet, but you're going to have to turn again to the Lord. And I could have preached this same message out of Ezekiel, out of Isaiah, out of the book of Joel. I mean, we find many, many times God spoke to the children of Israel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. It said in verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? God can do what God wants to do. I was saying about this yesterday as I was studying and thinking about the subject of our nation and revival and what it all means to us, and could we, and could God, and all of these things. And the Lord gave me this little thought. I thought to myself as I was studying and meditating upon this, I wrote this down. We can have revival without America. We can have revival without America. Our nation does not have to go on like we have known it in the past in order for us to have revival. We can have revival without America, but we cannot have America without revival. It's down to this. It's either revival or ruin. We plead or we perish. But no matter what happens in our nation, it doesn't mean we can't have revival. It just may not be under the same nation that most of us grew up in this morning, but I'm glad that God is able, no matter what the circumstances of any nation is, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I believe when we go, you say, preacher, what about, what's that mean to all of us? What are we supposed to do in light of what's going on in our nation? We are to do what the Word of God says. We need to turn. We need to repent. We need to make sure our hearts are right with God. You know what? When we get to heaven one day, we're going to find out that a whole lot of what we thought was important really wasn't very important at all. It's just going to be burned up in the fire. What are we working for, laboring for, living for? Said this a few Sundays ago, while the church sleeps, hell burns. What are we doing really in light of eternity? And who's going to stand in the gap, and who's going to sound the trumpet, and who's going to pray and cry for our nation and invite people to God and try to make a difference in this last days? If we don't do that, the world surely is. We can't leave it up to them. It's up to us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.